Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello there, and welcome to an encore presentation of Databank Brawl. This is a show we started way back in 2016 and ran all the way through early 2020. The episodes are buried deep in our archive, so we are re-releasing them, starting with episode one.
If you've never heard Databank Brawl, here's the deal. We pick two characters from the Star Wars databank and then make up a deadly fight between them. Pain, shame, and comedy ensue.
Yes, we hope you enjoy the jokes we made on purpose and the random comments about the future of Star Wars, which are now hilariously outdated. So with no further ado, here is Databank Brawl Rewind. As Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, hello there, and welcome to Databank Brawl, the podcast where we learn about Star Wars characters, discuss them, and then make them fight for our amusement. I am thrilled to be back here with my usual co-host on this podcast, Mr. Ken Knapsack.
I don't like to consider myself the co-host of this show, Joseph. I consider it a guest that wouldn't leave.
I think that's appropriate, too. You are like the uncle on the couch that was having a hard time and just moved in.
Kind of more true than the fans realize.
No, still, we had great fun doing the live episode at Convergence that we did before this. I think that's the first one that I did, though, without you.
I think it is.
Yeah.
And you know what? My ego's in check. The show was spectacular.
Oh, well, thank you.
And I don't think I always need to be the guest that doesn't leave on here, but I enjoy fighting on Databank Brawl.
Excellent. And you always have great insights on the characters and looking them up on the old Google box and giving us more information.
Yes.
So I think we're just going to get right into it today. We have a first combatant who has been on my list for a long time and has been requested a lot by people who tweet into Force Center Pod and use the hashtag Databank Brawl and tell us who they'd like to fight. This person has been suggested multiple times. It is Chairman Papanoida.
Chairman Papanoida.
Now, right off the bat, do you know?
Absolutely know who it is.
All right.
It is George Lucas himself.
That's right. It's Blueberry George Lucas.
It is Veruca Salt George Lucas after he ate the gum. Full name. Well, you start.
Yeah, here's.
Because this is how the show works, people.
Yeah, so we read
the host.
The official Databank Brawl. Databank Brawl. No, I'm just saying the name of my podcast. The official Databank entry from StarWars.com. And usually they have some kind of interesting, very full of flavored text that lets us know what Lucasfilm really thinks of this character. Not as much with old Chairman Papanoida, so we're going to be relying on the Google box to get a little bit more flavor. Here's what StarWars.com has to say about him. Papanoida became chairman of Pantora. So a heavy metal planet. I'll start over. Papanoida became chairman of Pantora after the death of Chicho. When he refused to join the Separatists, they blockaded Pantora and hired the bounty hunter Greedo to kidnap Papanoida's daughters. Unwilling to wait for Coruscant law enforcement or the Senate to help, Papanoida took it on himself to solve the kidnapping and rescue his children. Now, that's fun, that's great, but it's mostly narrative, and there's nary a wink or nod to the fact that this is the creator, that this is the role created by George Lucas. For those of you not in the know, he was in the background of Revenge of the Sith, attending the opera, the ballet, the dance of the bubble that Palpatine and Anakin had their great discussion in. What does the Google box have to help us out? So you look these guys up on
fascinated
Wikipedia, which is just lawless lands.
Lawless land. There's so. Did this character appear in Clone Wars?
Yes. That's what all of this text is referring to.
So that
is he had this
canon?
Whole big. Oh, it's canon. Well, it's
Why
canon.
Why did I miss this?
It's canon because he appeared in Revenge of the Sith, and then he has this very long story arc in the Clone Wars, and I think pops up a couple other times randomly. But he has this whole story arc dedicated to him.
Okay.
Denial is a possibility that you simply block this out.
Wait a minute. I mean, the Clone Wars gets confusing because the story's out of order, and you have to go watch the real order.
Yeah. You have no memory
of seeing this episode, and I've seen every episode of Clone Wars.
It's multiple episodes, and it has Greedo in it. It has the weird inspector character who's kind of like an old 1940s character actor character. Do you remember that guy?
Yes.
I don't remember his name off the top of my head, but as soon as they add him to the databank,
he'll fight. He'll be dead.
Yeah, and they got the cop robots that are on Coruscant.
Yeah,
and it is. This is an episode that Padme is involved in quite a bit because it's more on the political side of things.
Yes. Okay. Little memories of that.
Yeah, because the great anthology series of Clone Wars. Sometimes you'll get three episodes of intense, amazing Jedi action. Sometimes you'll get deep philosophy about the meaning of the Force, and then you'll get three episodes of Greedo kidnapping Chairman Papanoida's children for political gain.
I can't believe I have no memory of this.
You must have blocked it out, or someone.
Someone
took your memories. They're not. I don't think they're bad episodes. They're if you're like, hey, you know what? It's Saturday morning. I got my cereal. Maybe I have a mimosa, and I'm ready to watch some Clone Wars like it's Saturday morning cartoons. And you're hoping for some lightsabers, and then you get the creator painted blue. Meh. Maybe not as exciting.
I mean, I'm looking at the picture of him from the show.
He's firing blasters.
He's
pretty active obviously this is the character. It's not George Lucas, but in our mind, it's George Lucas. That's why people were excited.
I have to question everything about myself as a Star Wars fan. I'm very familiar with him just by name. As I recognized it right away. I know the scene in Revenge of the Sith when Anakin Skywalker runs past him to talk to Palpatine. Wow.
Yeah. So what does Wikipedia have any information about his height, his weight?
Yes, sir, they do. He is a Pentaurian, as you said, male, 1.77 meters tall, okay. 81 kilograms. Hair color blue, eye color black, skin color a blue.
And I know we like to pull a quote. Does he have a quote? Like, hey, you can't do that, or not my daughter, not
It's actually one of his children, I believe his daughter, Che Amanwe Papanota.
That sounds right.
To Greedo, my father's a powerful man. If you hurt me or my sister, you'll be dead.
All right.
Because he can write you out a cannon.
That's right. But yeah, so by including the Clone Wars and Revenge of the Sith in canon, George Lucas is enshrined forever as a part of canon. If I'm remembering these episodes correctly, he was portrayed as a good man,
yes,
a good politician, cared about his own planet, cared about the fate of the galaxy, only used violence as a last resort, only went outside of the system because the Senate was such a horrific mess. So he was a good guy.
Yeah, he was sort of here. Yeah,
yeah. Right. Like, so he was sort of like Bail Organa, but with like a horrible skin condition.
Yeah. Former playwright. I love it.
A former playwright?
That's what it says.
That's what it says there in Wikipedia.
Baron Notowski Papanota was a Pentaurian statesman and playwright.
Oh, well.
And it goes on to say down here, lover of the performance arts.
Right. He went to the.
That. He was once a humble playwright on his homeworld of Pentaur and had a number of hits that became immensely popular among his people. The success of his plays helped fund Papanota's growing entertainment empire.
Well, okay, so that's important information.
And Papanota himself became an influential trade guild baron. Because
all right, a trade guild baron. Okay, so normally I try to stick to the databank, but I gotta admit, the databank kind of let me down. So we gotta go to, this is gonna be a little bit of Wikipedia brawl. Yeah. We'll go to that, because that's some great information, a playwright.
Trader in information, because he was a little like Varys, a spider from Game of Thrones, was able to cultivate his information network that some claimed even rivaled the famed Bothan spy net.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it could have been many Papanoidas died to bring us this information.
Could have been.
Except for maybe he'll die today when he faces his combatant.
Yes.
Are you ready for a second challenger?
I am.
It is a battle droid.
My mic just dropped on that one. It dropped, and the mic looked like the head of a battle droid.
Yeah, I liked a while back when we got together with Mark Ellis, and we just had a random First Order flame trooper. And just one of them. Who cares? They don't always have to be a specific character. So this is a battle droid.
Right.
And, of course, the databank has entries for battle droids.
As it should.
So here we go. This one's got a little bit more flavor. Rather than use flesh and blood warriors, the Separatists prefer mindlessly loyal soldiers that are easily controlled. The soulless ranks of their armies are dominated by tall, thin B-1 battle droids built as mechanical imitations of their Geonosian designers. Battle droids can be controlled by centralized command centers such as the Trade Federation's enormous droid control ships or programmed for independent action. They often suffer programming glitches that manifest as personality quirks. Battle droids are dim-witted and no match for clone troopers or Jedi, but they weren't designed to be smart. They were designed to overwhelm Republic civilians through sheer numbers, something they do very effectively. There's a lot of interesting things in that. Their entry is basically a battle droid apologist perspective. Like, we're going to make sense of that. We're going to cover that up, which I really like, actually.
I like. I'm not, unfortunately, not getting on this particular entrance, not getting a lot of sizes and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
They just are.
Well, let me ask you some questions while you're looking things up there on the Google box. How do you feel about the idea that they're supposed to look like Geonosians?
I don't get that.
I get the head shape.
The head?
Because the Geonosians have the thin necks and then the little bit longer tapered faces.
Battle droids don't have little flappy wings, number one.
That's true.
The heads make sense. I'm picturing Poggle the Lesser right now, and I can see it. The spindly little wiry arms make some sense.
Fair enough.
I can get behind
that. Fair enough. Yeah, I like it.
I'll buy it.
It's an okay retcon. It's a good retcon.
Yeah.
It's canon because it's on databank.
Yeah.
And then I do really like that the programming glitches manifest as personality quirks.
Right.
Particularly in the Clone Wars animated series. Mm-hmm. They rely on some battle droid humor a lot early on.
Yeah.
Which at first got on my nerves. Then I started to the second time I watched it, I was kind of enjoying it, and I felt guilty. I felt dirty.
I'm okay with it in the Clone Wars because it seems like, well, okay is a strong word. I'm fine with it. I can live with it in the Clone Wars because they're very aware of the reaction to both the prequels and the battle droids specifically.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever really discussed it, but I had an ominous sense going into Phantom Menace once the crawl came and once the crawl ended, and it seems like I got something so normal to Jedi landing with permission and having some tea.
Yeah.
So I'm already dubious. There's already a little weird feeling in my soul. And then the battle droids, and I was the design of the battle droids, I loved them in the trailer.
Yeah.
When they come up and you see their head and they're on the battlefield getting ready. I actually had no problem going into the movie with the battle droids. It made sense to me. Oh, this is why they have stormtroopers, because the droids got it, bought into it. But it was that first Roger, Roger that just threw me for a loop. And then I'm still struggling. I was like, it was a boxing match. I got punched in the head and I'm stammering. And it was later on where they go back to Naboo. And the one of them says, who are you? Like, has this moment of stammering. I'm like, but it's a droid.
Right.
And I know 3PO has his own personality, but it just came off as a droid wouldn't stammer like that. These battle droids wouldn't stammer. And it was one of the things I liked least of the prequels.
Yeah, I think it was one of the just functional narrative problems that they are supposed to be menacing, but then Ned George is trying to do it both ways there, where they're menacing but also funny. And I think that the Clone Wars kind of ran with that. There's some parts of Clone Wars where I feel bad for them, where it's almost cruel.
Yes.
That they're clearly dumb. They're clearly not capable of this. They clearly are aware that Jedi are going to murder them. And then you've got General Grievous just going, like, go over there.
There is some
messed
up.
They're like, we don't want, there's a Jedi in there. We don't want to go there. And then they get cut up and it's kind of funny, but also real dark.
Yeah, in a weird way.
Because they know they're going to die.
Yeah, there's some moments there. There's some moments of please don't hurt me.
And now it's a burgeoning part of Star Wars to have quirky battle droids left over from the Clone Wars. We have Mr. Bones.
Yes.
Who's been reconstructed.
Mm-hmm.
Just watched the first episode of the Lego Freemaker Adventures. Mm-hmm. It's not a spoiler, but there's another battle droid character. Not the same as Mr. Bones, but left over from the Clone Wars. Yeah. Really leaning on these ideas that I'm a quirky guy who never belonged in a war.
In Darth Vader comic.
Oh, really?
They factor in a little bit at one point. Yeah, they're not as quirky. There's a little bit more just normal droids. But yeah, they're there too.
Oh, no, but do they just march around and be effective?
They're in a plot point with Vader, and I think Vader at first leads them or destroys them again, and it's like old times for Anakin. but they show up again. Yeah.
Okay, so you kind of talked a little bit about your memories of them, your reactions to them, or reactions to the retcon. Anything else that you want to throw out there about battle droids?
Well,
do you feel that they should have a resurgence, that they should be appearing, or is it time to let the battle droids go?
I think it's time to let the battle droids go, but it doesn't mean that they don't have their place. Some tail of the tape on them, 1.93 meters. Masculine programming is their gender.
Oh, okay.
Sensor color, black. Plating color, bone white or rust brown. Armament is E5 blaster rifle.
Okay.
And thermal detonators.
Yeah.
And, of course, the best dialogue in all the movies.
Which is...
just all of it.
Do they have a quote there
what
for them?
What, that? That nothing. Which I believe is a super battle droids, but... no quote, surprisingly.
Not even infamous Roger.
I think
Roger.
We know that is the quote.
Roger, Roger. It's addictive. All right, in that case, let us fight.
Yeah.
We have Chairman Papanoida and a random battle droid. We don't know how long Chairman Papanoida lived, if he lived past the Clone War era. So we don't know if this could even be pre-Clone Wars because the battle droids were rattling around.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah. What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Mm-hmm. So when and where do you think this battle takes place, Ken?
I think this takes place hours after the fall of the Republic.
Okay, the Republic has fallen.
As it turns to the Empire is what I mean.
Okay, so...
So it's in those days.
Right.
Right after. And our battle is going to take place on Coruscant.
Okay, good.
Jake Lloyd said, Coruscant. So it happens in those days because Baron Papinoda is obviously did not want to be part of the Separatists.
Right.
So he's in his offices on Coruscant.
How do you think he feels about the fall of the Republic, the transition to the Empire?
Horribly nervous.
Yeah, this is he's not, a good guy.
He's not what him and Mon Mothma and Bail Organa and Padme and others wanted.
Right.
Not what he wanted. So he's wary. He's in his offices. And, you know, he's a playwright, and he was in the holodrama business. And he's had some very popular, we don't know what they are, it's just not listed here, but he had some very popular holodramas that, as we said, helped build his entertainment empire. Towards the end of days, so to speak, in the days of Revenge of the Sith, Papinoda wrote some prequel stories to those popular holodramas that were not met as well by the people of Coruscant.
Were there some subtext that was offensive to the people of Coruscant?
Yeah, it was
place?
A political thriller that struck too close to home, and a lot of people just wanted the action that his earlier holodramas presented.
They didn't want all that political subtext.
Right. So there is a knock at his door, and the knock is under the pretense that this battle droid is here to collect him for the atrocities that Papinoda perpetrated on the people by writing these horrible prequels.
Okay, so this is a rogue battle droid because at this point the Trade Federation army is probably right about to be shut down.
Right. It's a rogue one. It's the Emperor, now Emperor, switched to clones, but it's part of it. I think they've got some lower level stuff. I think it's part of it. Palpatine also needs to round up his enemies.
Okay. So maybe he says some of these quirky ones.
Yes.
The battle droids who are sentient, who are really aware of themselves.
Yeah.
I'm going to give the quirky ones some missions.
Yeah.
To take care of other problems. And I'll win either way because either Papinoda or the battle droid will kill themselves.
Yeah.
So this is our first battle that is a direct machination of Palpatine.
Yeah. Go now and get Papinoida.
Roger, roger. Don't say that again.
Don't say it again. Use the pretense that his prequels were bad. Do what must be done.
One of my favorite Palpatine lines. All right, so the battle droid raps on the door of our playlight.
Clink, 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 clink. Yeah. So I think Papanoida, he's got his children, he's got his family, he's got blasters, he's a man of action when he needs to be, but he's immediately, because of
that. He's slow, though. Real
slow, but he's immediately suspicious.
Okay, yeah. Who could that be rapping on my door as I finish up my latest play, which is clearly criticizing the rise of the Empire?
Right, right.
Very dangerous, he knows.
So he calls out, who's at the door? And
I'll point out that I absolutely want you to continue to use George Lucas's voice as Chairman Papanoida's voice, but I think
didn't do on the Clone Wars.
No, I believe he was given a deep, robust voice, but by all means, I think in our canon, he should talk like George Lucas.
A little bit like Lawrence Kasdan, too. Yeah, so there's that, and it comes back the answer. The droid tries to it's a courier. And so begins our battle.
Okay, this is going to be a very squeaky, obnoxious sounding battle for sure. So I think Papanoida knows that he is in trouble, and he tells his daughters to run.
Yes, daughters are run.
I think they're heading out. They're jumping out the Coruscant windows into a speeder car, and they're off.
Yeah.
And then I think Chairman Papanoida tries to be real cool about it, and I think he tries to line himself up against the wall, flatten himself to the best of his ability. He is a man of girth.
Yes.
He is a Pantoran of girth.
Pantoran of girth.
Pantoran of girth. That great heavy metal concert. He tries to flatten himself against the wall and open the door, and he's going to train his blaster on whatever comes through the door.
And he doesn't get a chance, because the battle droid uses one of his thermal detonators to explode the door.
Oh, really? So he just... So Papanoida goes up to the door.
Yeah.
It blows up because this battle droid is quirky. It's got a personality.
Yeah.
Clearly super violent personality.
Yep.
I think this battle droid feels the wrongs that have been done to all battle droids.
Oh, there's definitely... It's been really over 10 years of this.
Yeah, 10 years of this BS, stupid missions, manipulations, just... You know, we know that you're no good at fighting, even though we could have made you good at fighting.
Right.
But why don't 100 of you go in there so 98 of you can get slaughtered?
Right.
He's watched his brothers die.
He's watched many of them. He's had to hold their severed limbs in his arms and say, good night, good night.
Yeah.
Like it's been bad.
Good night, good night. He was there on Geonosis when his best friend's head got put on C-3PO.
Yes.
Yes. Bullshit, bullshit.
Shouldn't have been canon. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So that's where he's coming from here.
This is a violent battle.
It's starting fast.
Right. So
no
right away
with
the blow. Okay. So I think that hits Papanoida, right? I think he's right away. He's got shrapnel.
Oh, yeah. He's blown back a few feet.
Yeah. He's bleeding a color. We don't know what.
Yeah, what would be his...
Who knows?
White?
White?
I don't know. Maybe.
Since he's,
It's odd. Odd to think. But yeah, he's bleeding. He's definitely been hit. And I think, as we saw in the Clone Wars cartoon that I don't remember, he's not afraid to take action. So he's well-trained on these blasters. So he starts shooting right away.
Yeah, I think he rolls to his feet.
Doesn't hesitate.
You know, maybe he doesn't even roll to his feet. He rolls over to his side.
I don't think he has the ability to roll to his feet.
Yeah, okay, so he rolls a little bit,
and
then he fires. He's pew, pew, pew.
Pew, pew, pew.
In the door.
Doesn't hit anything, though. Okay. And there's still smoke, debris. The droid has got enough battle training to know that he's going to stand it back a bit.
Yeah, I think this is a psycho droid. I think, like, the battle droid is definitely, like, from an 80s movie. Like, he doesn't give a damn anymore. So I think he sticks his little arm through the hole he blew and just fires utterly randomly. I think he just enjoys the sounds of destruction.
Yes. And he's hitting the desk with the laser blast and I don't think they write on paper, but the manuscript for Papanoida's latest prequels is exploding in the air.
He hits the data pad. He hits the data pad and blows up the thinly veiled attack on the rise of the Empire.
Right, right. And Papanoida screams out, "My stories!"
The poetry.
So the droid knows he's struck a chord, and he enters the doorway.
Okay. So now there, I think at this point, Papanoida, his fury has gotten him to his feet.
Yes.
He is a man of patience up to a point.
Yeah.
And now the battle droid's in the door. They're facing each other. They both have blasters.
And now they're trained on each other.
Yeah. Who's a faster shot?
Well, the battle droid is, but there's this weird moment. It's almost poetic as the smoke and dust and debris are floating through the air. And the tension is high and these blasters are trained on each other. The battle droid, there's something deep inside his programming that he just freezes up. And it's almost as if he's seen his creator. And it's momentary. Yeah. It's deep. Music, if you could hear music, it'd be swelling.
He knows that he has been created in the image of a Geonosian. Right. And yet, this strange, hearty blue man with a white beard.
Something in there. Something in there. And but it's momentary.
Right. But it gives Papanoid enough time to act, right?
He acts. He fires. Pew, pew. Hits the battle droid in the upper right torso, and Papanoid seeks cover.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So the battle droid spins. He goes down. Mm-hmm. I think at this point, the battle droid is extra enraged, extra full of confused
emotions.
He's
back on his game now.
Yeah.
Momentary lapse gone.
It's given Papanoid some time, though, to survey his apartment in Coruscant.
Yeah.
And realize, I have all of this artwork everywhere.
Yes.
I'm going to shoot at various pieces of artwork and try to get them to fall over and hit the battle droid.
Right. Yes, the first piece of art that he hits is a life-size, two-scale replica of a famous Mon Calamari water dancer. I don't know the name. It's probably Tubar.
Yeah.
hits it. And he hates to hit. It's priceless.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But this is his life. This is his family. So it hits it. It does fall over, but it's so big and heavy, the battle droid easily jumps out of the way.
See, I think it takes an arm.
Takes an arm?
I think it takes an arm off the battle droid. I think, not the blaster arm.
No, no.
But
so he loses the arm.
I think in an almost artistic way, as though this was a dance between a creator and one of its failed, miserable creations.
Yeah.
That the battle droid is feeling both emotionally and literally physically that it is being stripped away of value.
Yeah, literally.
Literally. So it loses an arm.
It goes flying away.
Yeah. And at this point, Papanoid could maybe try to get away.
Could maybe try to get away. But he's got to cut across the room, and he's got to go in front of the battle droid. And he's not as fast as he used to be in his young days of racing speeders on a desert planet. So he which that's probably not canon, by the way. so he doesn't know what to do. He needs to create another distraction. So he looks around for more art. I don't know if he finds anything in the immediate vicinity that can help him.
Yeah. You know what I think he realizes? Mm-hmm. Is I think he looks around. He's like, I've shot all of my heavy stuff.
Yeah.
The only art I have left is in my soul. And he thinks, maybe I've heard these battle droids are quirky and develop personalities. Maybe if I sing to it, it will stop.
Yeah, it's coming out.
Right, so he's humming an old tune from Pantora.
Yes.
And how do you think the battle droid just lost an arm? Everything is always being taken from it, limb by limb. It gets taken apart and replaced. Does this music soothe it or just make the battle droid more angry?
Your answer comes in one swift laser blast. Laser strikes Papanoda in his right shoulder, right shoulder.
Oh, so he's matching the wounds on purpose.
Yes. Doesn't take the arm though.
No,
but he's got that lobby boy outfit he wears. He looks like a hotel lobby boy. So he takes the top. He takes the top of the outfit more than the arm.
Okay,
which enrages the battle droid even more.
Yeah,
because Papanoid is still singing.
Okay, so at this point now the goal is to just stop the singing, maybe.
Maybe.
Right.
Maybe.
Okay. But Papanoid's clothes are so large.
Yes.
His mass is large, so he can take a lot of damage.
Yeah.
So maybe the battle droid just throws his blaster down and says, this is a job for my one remaining arm. Actually, maybe he wants to use both of his arms. Maybe he picks up his fallen arm.
Picks up his fallen
and
arm.
Batters.
Charges Papanoida.
Charges Papanoida.
And starts taking some shots.
Yeah.
Oh, it's ugly, folks.
Yeah, and I mean, Papanoida, he wants to believe that this will work. He saw some moment of hesitation earlier. He knows that there's some humanity in this droid.
He is, and it's tough, though, because he's singing. Dun, 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 dun. Oh.
Die.
So they're on the ground tussling.
Okay.
We always seem to get this point in Data Bank Brawl where our combatants are on the ground tussling.
It's just the way of things. It's the way of the Force.
He's flinging that arm, trying. And some of it, it's not full contact. Papanoida's hat is falling off. So the droid has trouble registering that, too. And so he's hitting the hat a little bit, too.
Right.
The hat is squished.
Let's just make this more exciting, because you're right. We end up rolling around on the ground.
Yeah.
And I don't think this is going to change the outcome, but just for excitement.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say they roll through the glass, and they shatter the glass, and they fall through the air and land on a car. A
on
speeder
Coruscant.
Car.
Okay.
On Coruscant. And they're still rolling, but this is far more exciting.
So they land on a speeder driven by a local Weequay.
Excellent.
He doesn't know what's happened. He's just like,
why would he?
Get out of my speeder. Because he's got that real Rebels alien voice.
Yes.
One of my big problems with Rebels is that these aliens all seem to have, like, I speak like this. Oh, I speak like this. Because I'm a rebel. I'm a rebel villain. I'm a rebel alien. So this guy's like, let's go get out of my speeder. And they're fighting.
They're still tussling away. Yeah.
Tussling away. Papanoida gets a little bit of an advantage by knocking the arm loose, and the battle droid's arm goes flying out.
It's gone forever. It's falling down the streets, down to the deepest, darkest levels of Coruscant.
My arm.
Okay, so Papanoida, I think, has a moment of advantage where he can just throw the battle droid out of the car. Do you think he does it, or do you think that he has a moment of pause, of doubt, of murdering?
Here's what happens. Correct me if I'm wrong. Papanoida takes advantage. He's got a little bit of weight advantage here. He's strong, guy. He's you don't think it, but he's strong. Lifts him up, flings him on the back of the speeder, thinks for a second. You just hear, you know that sound? There's a sound one of the battle droids makes when I think in Phantom Menace, Qui-Gon or Obi-Wan takes him out. The droid himself doesn't really necessarily make it, but it's like this, it just hits a wall and goes, he hears that sound.
Yeah.
And so he breathes.
Like, that's the sound of a battle droid dying.
bleeding, his white blood is pouring out of his blue skin. The Weequay's like, what was that about? What are you doing? I gotta take you back. What are you're gonna pay for any damage to my speeder. And then Papanoida hears this, like,
it's crawling its way back up.
Its arm caught the edge of the speeder.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one remaining arm.
So now you have this moment where Papanoida is staring into the eyes of the battle droid and wondering, do I kill him?
Yeah.
Can I do it?
I think Papanoida is thinking about his family. He's thinking about his history, that he's left a legacy of art.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that the galaxy is going to crap.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't think he can maybe do anything to change it. And maybe he just wonders for a moment, maybe the most generous, peaceful thing I could do is give my life to this little monster so it could feel a moment of peace.
Mm.
I think we're really at that crux where we need to decide who do you think should win, and then we'll narrate exactly how this happens.
I think Papanoida has to win.
You think Papanoida has to win?
I think he has to win, but I'm open to what you're saying.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think that these two combatants are more evenly matched than a lot we've had on Data Bank Brawl, which is odd, but I think the battle droid might have a tiny bit of advantage in that it is insane.
Yeah.
And that it is technically for battle.
Right.
It is only technically for battle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not equipped for battle. It threw down its blaster, which was dumb.
Yeah.
And now it only has one limb, and it's kind of damaged from being thrown on a speeder bike.
Right.
But it is for battle. So it's a close one for me. But if you have a vision of Papanoida, I'm willing to go with Papanoida.
Yeah, only because it seems right, because he's a family man.
Fair enough.
I think there's a moment of peace. Papanoide maybe thinks he doesn't have it in it to kill this guy.
Right. Ooh, I like this.
Yeah. So the battle droid starts climbing as best he can. And Papanoide fails a little bit. He reaches out. And I don't know why he does this, but we don't know why he's done a lot of the things.
Well, just like the battle droid saw something in him, he sees something in that battle droid.
Yeah.
A tortured creation that should never have been.
An abomination. Pulls him up a little bit.
Yeah.
Actually reaches out.
Maybe he's going to try to talk it through.
Talk it through. Meanwhile, the Weeka is going, let that thing fall! Get it off my speeder!
You're going to pay for those scratches.
Yeah. Apologize to anyone listening in headphones. So their eye to sensor perceptor. Their eye to sensor perceptor. They're staring at each other.
Right.
Creator, playwright, artist, leader, into cold, hard programming battle droid.
Yep. It's a quirky, quirky programming.
It's a deep moment. And then I don't know.
Yes. I think that Papanoida says, we live in a dark time, but here's my moment to find peace.
Right.
I see a little bit of humanity in its sensor perceptor. Yeah. I can give this, if I give the speech of my life, singing didn't work, but I bet if I orate like I have never orated before, it will bring peace.
Yeah.
And I think he launches into a magnificent speech about what is a soul. I think a lot of different people think that robots, droids, non-sentients don't have souls, but it is very clear that within your programming, you have feelings, you have beliefs. And I think at this point, the droid has heard this kind of garbage before. And he knows that this is, he just feels like he is being lied to. This is a bad political moment for Papanoida, where he's trying to reach the truth, but he can't quite sound believable enough. And I think that the droid pretends to go along with it. He's nodding his head and saying, Roger, 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 Roger. But he is only lulling Papanoida into a false sense of security. I think he lunges at Papanoida. I think the whole car tips and spins. The Weeka is screaming about the various scratches on his speeder car.
Get out of my speeder!
And the battle droid has totally, totally lost its mind. It is flailing wildly. It has ripped its own leg off while trying to get to Papanoida. That's how badly constructed the battle droids are. And Papanoida realizes, I must let it go. The battle droid has got a hold of his cloak. Papanoida rips his cloak off, wraps it around the battle droid like a burial blanket, and throws it down into the depths of Coruscant. Papanoida hangs his white bloody head in despair, knowing that this is a metaphor for the way the galaxy is going. He tried peace, and instead it is falling to the depths.
The battle droid is dead.
The battle droid has died. It's very sad.
He settles back into the speeder, says, can you take me back to my offices? And the Weequa looks at him and says, didn't you write those prequel holodramas?
Eat Chuta. Another fantastic, horrific battle on Data Bank Brawl. I never really know who's going to win.
You never know.
You know, sometimes it's about the physical strength, and sometimes it's about the heart. It's a difficult, difficult decision we make every episode.
We really put ourselves into tough moral spots.
We really do. We really do.
Somebody's deserve to live. Both deserve to die.
This one is very deep. It was sort of like Frankenstein and Dr. Frankenstein's monster and Frankenstein confronting one another, the creator and the horrible abomination, and finding out how they should live. You guys give us lots of great suggestions for Data Bank Brawl. We're getting up there in episodes. I don't remember off the top of my head which episode this is.
14?
14, I think. We've murdered a lot of Star Wars characters, or shamed them at the least.
Yeah.
But we've had many titans, many champions. Yes. It's going to take some time to put together a little tournament. But maybe we'll bring back some of our favorites and have some matchups. So I think we're getting pretty close to that.
Yeah.
Maybe like the 20th episode we'll do, like, at least, maybe not a full tournament of everybody who survived.
Yeah.
But like some of the interesting matchups.
I like that.
So it could be Papanoida against Jar Jar.
Yeah, you could have that. We could have the fans vote on who they want to see of the winners.
Yeah, yeah, like that would be really fun. Yeah, so something like that is coming up. But until then, please keep tweeting in if you have suggestions of characters you want to fight. Verses are great. It's really great when you just say, hey, I want to see this one specific character, because then we can kind of match it up with other characters. But always hashtag them DataBankBrawl, because it's much easier to find. Mm-hmm. Ken, anything you want to plug, where people can find you?
Hey, follow us here on Force Center, as you said, and me at Ken Napzok across all social media platforms, including Snapchat, but not Pokemon Go. you'll find me there, and not Star Wars Card Trader at all either, too.
Nope. We got to draw the line somewhere, right?
Somewhere.
You can find me on all the social media is at Joseph Scrimshaw. You can like Force Center on Facebook and follow us on Twitter is at Force Center Pod. And until next time, as Luke Skywalker once said while no one was really listening to him, I care. That's it for DataBank Brawl.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.